Good morning, everyone. Glad to see you. I want you to turn in your scripture to Romans chapter 12. And we're going to look at a few verses, and then we're going to do some stuff for our annual business celebration. And this is going to be a fun morning. And if I do everything the way I've got it planned, it'll go quick. How many of you think it doesn't really matter what I've planned anyway? Holy Spirit has other ideas sometimes. But Romans chapter 12, and we're going to just look at one verse there, verse 10. And what I want to talk to you about this morning is I just want to remind you some things about honor. You know, Mark was very kind, and you were all very kind and made me feel welcome, and that's an honoring thing that we do in this house. And once in a while, we just need to remember why we do what we do and what the honor thing means to us here at Bethel. So, verse 10, be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. As we talk about honor today, we're going to get around to honoring a few people, because we've just had a confirmation ballot go out, and about 75% of the people who were able to do a confirmation ballot were able to get it back in time, and it was very nice to know and to see that all those who are taking responsibilities in our church on our various boards were confirmed 100%. There's a unity among us, and I like that. It's an exciting thing. Honor's a big deal to me, maybe because that's right in my name. Timothy, honors God. It's always been something that meant a lot to me. Then in the last couple decades almost now, it's amazing how time goes. I got connected with some people, especially a guy named Danny Silk. And Danny Silk wrote a book called The Culture of Honor. And I read that book like 4 times. And I listened to his teaching on it, a series of messages, probably about 4 times, or 5 maybe. I used to like to just get out and mow the grass and listen to Danny talk about honor. And so it's meant a lot to me. You know, it's easy to honor God, right? It's easy to honor God, and nevertheless, though God is easy to honor, we don't always honor him, do we? Not the way that we should. But it's easy to honor God because he's good, because he loves us, because he treats us so wonderfully. It's easy to honor God, but sometimes other people. That's a little trickier, isn't it? Anybody besides me ever have just a little hitch in your giddy up sometimes when it comes to honoring somebody who you just feel like just doesn't deserve it? I got a verse for you. I'm going to give it to you, then I'm going to take it away. Romans chapter 13 and verse 7 says, render therefore to all their due what is due to them. Taxes to whom taxes are due, custom to whom customs are due, fear to whom fear, and honor to whom honor. Well, you know, that makes sense. If somebody is, you know, taking up the taxes and you pay your taxes and it's due to them, you know, that's something you should do because it's the right thing to do when it's due. Even though you don't like to, you know, and honor to those who it's due to. And some people, you just look at them and you think, well, I don't think that's due. That'll never do. No, you don't feel like honoring those people. And I get it. I struggle too. In fact, even the Bible recognizes that exists. There's an Old Testament verse, I should have written it down, that talks about how when evil kings die, the people rejoice. It's true, isn't it? When people are like making your life miserable, yeah, you know, then when they're gone, it's like, woohoo. I was feeling pretty good about myself, you know, that I could honor the right people. And that I had an understanding of honor that allowed me to honor the right people. And then I didn't have to honor those other people because they didn't deserve the honor because it wasn't due to them. And I was fine with that until 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17 came into focus. There it says, honor all people. Oh, stop it, Pete. For Pete's sake. Honor all people. Love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king. I'm not saying anything new today. Most of you even remember I've told you that the king who Peter was talking about when he said honor the king was the king who had him crucified. And he was a rascal. His name was Nero. And he was about as nasty a guy as could be found. Google it yourself and read all the nasty things that that man did. So, you know, you read that in 1 Peter 2:17, and maybe I can get it to change if I just get it in context. Wouldn't that be great if I could just wipe out that thing so I don't have to honor all people? Well, in context, I'm going to go to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, and I'm going to read to you. This is a verse that you're familiar with, and we're going to read right through and get the context. But you, that's talking about you all y'all, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people. Look at the person next to you and say, you're special, aren't you? Aren't you special? Yes, you are. That you, the reason you're special is that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that's true. You've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And that's why he's working in your life to do so much good. You who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but have now obtained mercy. That's where you don't get what you deserve. Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts that war against the soul, having your conduct honorable. Say honorable conduct. That's your conduct. Has nothing to do with anybody else. That's your conduct. Okay. Among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe glorify God in the day of his visitation. My behavior can cause people who don't believe to at least glorify God if I behave honorably. Therefore, verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme or to governors as to those who were sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. By the way, it is still 35 miles an hour in Baltimore. Just thought I'd tell you that. I don't want to say who it was, but I was told once by a lady in the church that she just can't drive 35 on Baltimore. I won't tell your name, but her initials are Cindy Herendeen. But anyway, I mean, sorry. It's hard. That seems like a nice, long, straight stretch. There's nothing down there but businesses that are closed on Sunday. I mean, come on. We should be able to go 70. Not going to happen. Verse 15, for this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free, yet not using liberty as a cloak for vice, but as a bondservant of God. Honor all people. That was the verse I read first. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Our honoring our conduct that is honoring, our honoring style of living, our honoring style of doing life, causes the unbelievers to give glory to God. I know sometimes it's easier when there's a crowd of people around the water cooler and they're all crabbing about whoever, the mayor, the governor, the president. It's easier sometimes to just go, yeah, that guy's a whatever. It's easier to just chime right in and not be honoring. But I'm called, you're called, we are called to be vessels of honor. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. Read it for yourself later. Vessels of honor. I got to thinking about a vessel. Tom, you make a lot of vessels, don't you? Most of them are just pretty. But they will hold something if you want to put something in them.
They all have holes.
Yep. They're holy. They all have holes. Tom has even some of these things that you put soap in, you know, and soap dispensers, and they're real pretty. And you know, how many of you are glad for a soap dispenser now and then? I was helping Mike out this week. He's working on a building downtown, and I've helped him out before, and I'm helping him out this week, and it's the dirtiest, nastiest, rotten shingle job we've ever had to take off of a roof. And I get home, and my beard isn't even this color anymore. Everything on me is dirt. And I get into the house and try to shake everything off before I go in because my wife will yell at me if I don't. And, you know, get my hands and try to wash them. And I've had gloves on and that stuff still, that powder seeps through and it's under my fingernails and it's everywhere. Nasty. I'm glad for those vessels that contain that cleaning stuff so I can at least start to get back to normal. And I look pretty good today. Yeah? Not that bad. Yeah. You know, the reason for a vessel is to provide something to contain something, but not just to contain it, but so that you can transport it, so that you can use it, so that you can have it available, so that it can go from one place to another and be a provision for others. We're a vessel of honor because God wants to fill us with honor because he wants us to take what's in us and take it to others because others need to hear honor. And it's a missing thing in our society today. Can you say amen? Yeah, it is. Badly missing. So, the question is, will I carry honor to others? Depends on what I'm filled with. If I'm not filled with honor, then I can't carry the honor, and I'm not a vessel of honor. It's not the vessel that gets the honor, it's what's in it. I want to be a vessel of honor. I want to be a vessel of the Holy Spirit. I want to be a vessel that carries what God's got to a world that desperately needs it. Come on. I want to be that. And it's going to make a difference. And it's going to cause people who don't even believe in God to glorify God. Think about that. It's powerful. And by the way, I will carry whatever I'm filled with. And I know a lot of people who are full of it. And they will carry it everywhere they go. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Yeah, you work with them. But see, your honor can change that. You can help them get filled with something new. Remember, Jesus said that our behavior toward the least of these, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it to me. You can probably think of a few least of these around you. You can probably think of a few least of these in the news, in politics, in entertainment. The list can go on and on. You can think of a lot of least of these, and Jesus says, inasmuch as you've done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me. Whew, man, I thought this was supposed to be easy, Lord. It's not always easy, is it? So, I told you about Danny, and he wrote that book, and I've listened to all that material over and over and over, and I want to live as an honorable person, and I want to be as honorable toward others as I can be. And so Danny one day decides he's going to do a little quick interview with Bill. Bill Johnson. They're friends. And he says to Bill, he says, how would you define honor? And Bill says, oh, that's where I treat you like I would treat Jesus. Where I treat you like I would treat Jesus. And Danny says, I wrote a whole book and there it is in one sentence. It's all done. Where I treat you like I would treat Jesus. Wow. Makes you think, doesn't it? Imagine treating everybody like we would treat Jesus. Well, Brother Tim, come on, not everybody's Jesus. I realize that. I run into a lot of not Jesuses every day. My wife lives with one. She puts up with a not Jesus almost every day. And I know they don't deserve it, and neither do we. True? But when we do it unto him or as unto him, we do it because that's who we are. I want to be a vessel full of honor, and I want that to be my nature so that I honor wherever I go and behave myself honoring, even in dishonorable situations and dishonorable behavior. In the face of that, I want to behave with honor. And then if we honor, we can create a momentum, and that momentum is something that people can get caught up in. And as we were reading earlier in verses 15 and 12, we will silence the foolishness of ignorant men by our good works that they observe. If you want to silence the ignorance of foolish men, let them observe your good works and your honor. That's what Peter's telling us. And I'm thinking, that would be pretty cool. Because there are times when I wish people would just shut up. But I'm tempted to tell them to shut up instead of just behaving in an honorable fashion. While we're talking about honor, just real quick, a side note. Honor and dishonor affects our lives every day. Here's one that the men should be familiar with. 1 Peter 3:7, husbands likewise dwell with them, referring to the wives, with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together with the grace of God, that your prayers may not be hindered. Right here we can say specifically men, if we don't act honoring toward our wives, our prayers are hindered. But I would suggest that if we don't act honorable to everyone, our prayers, our lives as believers can be hindered. And I know that that verse was specific to the marriage relationship, but together with all the other verses that I've quoted to you this morning, I really think it's clear that honor is a pathway to being powerful, and dishonor will hinder us in our lives and our ministries. So when I catch myself being dishonorable, I need to catch myself. Wait. Pull back, Tim. Stop that. Don't do that. Find a way to be honorable when it's so easy not to be. And we've been doing that, you know, we've been doing this honor thing here at Bethel for quite a few years now. As I mentioned, you know, I get introduced and then people treat me nice, but it's not just me. I just happen to be the one who speaks the most. Whenever we have another person speak, we try to do the same for each of them. And we try to be excited about testimonies and excited about anybody who has something to share. We want to show honor to one another. Matthew chapter 10, verse 41 says, he who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward, and he who receives a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. When we honor people and we make them feel welcome and loved, we start to receive something too, and we get to rejoice. You know, I don't think we can overdo this thing. Loving on each other and honoring one another and giving preference to one another and doing all those things where we just make each other feel like we're valued because we should, because God thinks you're amazing and he values you. And I'm sure he values you more than I value you, because I don't get it yet. He sees in you things that I can't see. He knows about you and knows what he put inside of you, and he knows what he wants to accomplish. And sometimes people around you can't see that, but God sees it. But I want to get as close to that as I can. Does that make sense? And if I start asking him to show me what's in you that deserves honor, and to bring that which is great in you and call it out through honor, something can happen that can't happen otherwise. Here's another verse, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 26. If one member suffers, all members suffer. If one member is honored, all members rejoice with it. When we do our best to see somebody having something great happen and we honor them for that, or they're doing something important that's a value to us and we honor them for that, we get blessed too. You know, this, you can't start splashing water on people and not get a little wet yourself. It's kind of fun. I really do believe that those of us who are connected to each other, when we go through stuff, there's a lot of caring in this church. It's one of the things that's great about our church. Today was supposed to be kind of the state of the church message, you know, our annual business celebration. But I can just say our church isn't perfect. We've got 17,000 square feet that we haven't filled up yet. There's things we could talk about that we need to do, and we will. But I'm thankful for what we do have, and I do have that feeling that there are people here, and when somebody's suffering, everybody feels that. We care about each other. It's an important thing. But when we see somebody having great success and we honor them, or we just make somebody feel honored, we all receive from that. It's a wonderful thing. I want to say to you that I am blessed to be the pastor of this church. 25 years of being blessed is just more than anybody should really deserve. And you all mean the world to me. I just want to see God pour out his spirit on you. But even more, I want to see him pour out his spirit on a generation of people. And I want this, all that we've done up till now, to be made available to another generation, so that this will be carried on and on and on and on and on. Whatever that looks like, however God wants to do that. I just want to see God do what God wants to do. So, Father, bless your people. Thank you for the faithful ones who have served in so many capacities, working with each other. Lord, there's so much I haven't even talked about. Ministering to people in prayer ministry that we call SOZO, and helping people get set free. Lord, ministering worship team, what a wonderful group of people that are willing to give of themselves so freely. So many things, Lord, that we could talk about. We are blessed, Lord. We are a blessed house. And we just ask, Lord, that as the days go on, that you would continue to give us wisdom and understanding, and that we would hear your voice, and that we would be people who are honoring people, carrying honor everywhere we go, and bringing people out of darkness and into your marvelous light. And so, Father, bless us as we enjoy our time of fellowship and food. And, Lord, just cause us to be growing your kingdom inside of us and inside of our community. And this we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen.